Bonjour, Gokanawia, way to talk indigenous cause, Jamoki Manish Nandao, Dashniwe Abajatun, Anishnamba Moen, and Dasu Gijigat. Duga, would you a shin? Would you buemo da? Bonjour, hello. This is Way to Talk, or Jeremy Kingsbury. I'll be hosting this round of podcasts. So I just want to introduce kind of what the concept is, what we're doing, why, that sort of thing. So, I said, my name is Jeremy Kingsbury. In the introduction mentioned, I am not Anishinaabe, but really have been kind of slightly obsessed and really into Ojibwe language since I was a teenager, taking classes at University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee with Anton Troy when he was down there, and then eventually taking his coursework at Bemidji State University as well. Lately, I've been kind of leading or facilitating the White Earth Tribal College, Tribal and Community College language table. And it's been a really great space. It's really like come hang out, ask language questions. We do some stuff together. But I was thinking this might be a helpful way to kind of help that language table to have some like easy to listen to things. And also just, you know, there's lots of resources out there for learning Ojibwe online today, and that's wonderful. And this is certainly not anything like new or innovative that I'm doing. I just wanted to share sort of what helped me learn as a second language speaker and, you know, somebody completely without any experience with Ojibwe Moen when I started learning as, you know, being a white kid from the suburbs. What helped me was understanding kind of the grammar rules and how everything works. And it can seem really daunting at first because there's so many ways to conjugate things in Ojibwe, it seems. But, you know, if you just kind of plug away at it one at a time, I think it works pretty well. So that's what this podcast is going to be. I'm going to go through every conjugation is the goal here. Go through every conjugation, you know, one per episode for all the different verb groups until we're done. Or until we get to VTAs and I give up. But I think this is going to be pretty doable. I'm really indebted to, you know, my Ojibwe language teachers, specifically Anton Troyer. We're going to be really leaning heavily on one of my favorite online resources for learning Ojibwe, the Ushkebewis Native Journal. So I'm actually just going to be reading kind of the instructions for how to do these paradigms and then speaking a couple examples. The goal here is just for people to be able to listen and practice one conjugation per week or per episode that you're listening to. And yeah, have a quick, easy, digestible way to listen to it. Yeah, if you're interested in coming to that language table, it's open to anybody. It's hosted by White Earth Tribal College. And right now we're kind of working our way through some VAIs and some easy grammar words, but mostly it's, you know, people come in with questions. Like that's also supposed to be a goal, is just to kind of chat about whatever kind of language or Anishinaabe culture or history related things we want to. Professionally, that's my background, or what I'm in theory, that's what I do now, is I'm a PhD candidate at the University of Iowa studying Anishinaabe history, specifically gender and sexuality history of kind of the late 18th and early 19th century. So that's my jam, but Ojibwe language has been, like I said, a passion of mine since I was a teenager. And yeah, so that's what we're going to do. So I guess let's get started. So this episode might be a little bit longer than most, just because we're kind of laying the groundwork for what to expect on this channel. Like I said, every episode I'm going to go through one conjugation, one form of kind of manipulating Ojibwe verbs. Ojibwe, or Ojibwe Moen, or Anishinaabe Moen, is a verb-based language if you're just new. And so for me, it's always been more helpful and a way to grow vocabulary faster, and I learn more successfully when studying Ojibwe from a verb, you know, based standpoint. And so that's my strengths. So this podcast is really about me talking about the things that I feel most comfortable talking about, right? So we're going to talk about verbs. They can be really confusing and intimidating at first. There's four different verb groups in Ojibwe, and I know there's different philosophies on how to approach this, and there's definitely some wisdom in kind of learning them all at once so that you have a diverse vocabulary and ability to speak. But for me, that's too confusing. I've always excelled when kind of focusing in on one verb group at a time, and then maybe also picking up some linguistic things and conversational things. But I'll, you know, for the sake of this podcast, the niche that this can fill is just focusing on those conjugations for one verb group at a time, one conjugation at a time in a predictable format. So that's what we're doing. We're going to start with VIIs. And so some of these linguistic terms or kind of shorthands or acronyms that we use kind of linguistically when talking about Ojibwe can be really off-putting and confusing at first. So just the basics, I guess, for today, talking about the different verb groups. You know, you'll hear people refer to VII, VAI, VTI, and VTA. All that means is kind of who's doing or what is doing the action. So the most simple verb group that we're going to begin with, VIIs, are verbs that are inanimate, like that are about an inanimate object, that are intransitive. So they're not affecting another object. And it's really a confusing, this verb group is made up of things that largely don't make sense in English as verbs necessarily. So like colors, days of the week, weather words, these are all VIIs. And when you're translating it into English, it can get kind of confusing where you want to say like, it is rainying, like you kind of add that extra ing to the end of it when you translate it to get your brain thinking in verbs, just because it helps later with translating and that sort of thing, or trying to understand what the conjugations are doing. Conjugations, another term that at first glance can be like, huh, what's that? That's just the way that we're changing the verbs to convey more information. So that's what a conjugation is, the different prefixes and suffixes, the things you add to the beginning and the end of the word in order to make it mean something. Ojibwe has this reputation as being a really tough language, and I've always been really comforted by it. It's the language I have most successfully learned as a second language speaker. I've tried to learn Spanish and French and done pretty poor at both of those. But for me, Ojibwe was really, I won't say easy to learn, but easier to learn because it was so consistent. While it seems like there are four ways to say everything you'll hear people say occasionally, really, if you just understand the patterns that are repeated throughout the language, it's a lot less onerous. Or onerous, rather, than at first glance it seems like it's going to be. So we're going to kind of go in that order of verbs. So we're going to start with these verbs that are intransitive and inanimate. Then we're going to go on to VAIs, which are verbs that are animate and intransitive, where those are sort of like your how you doing words. Those VAIs are kind of my favorite verbs. They're able to be pretty complex, but not too difficult to conjugate. And like a lot of conversational stuff is done in VAIs, or you can kind of work around it doing VAIs. And then verbs that are VTIs, verbs that are transitive and inanimate, that's when an animate entity is acting on an inanimate object. Then you're going to be using a verb that is in transit, that are VTIs. And then the most complicated and kind of diverse verb groups are VTAs, or verbs that are transitive and animate. So that's when an animate entity is acting upon another animate entity. So there's lots of different ways that can look. And so those wind up being pretty huge in their variety of conjugations for the verb groups. If you're using resources like the Ojibwe People's Dictionary or Nichols and Nyholm Dictionary, like you'll see oftentimes the words will have these shorthands in there of, you know, VII, VAI, that sort of thing. So yeah, as we're going through and talking about VIIs, you know, you can use these same conjugations for any VII, so that's really helpful. So I guess it makes sense now to read kind of similar to what I just said, except worded much more clearly from Anton Troyer's article in Oshkabewa's Native Journal, Volume 4, Number 1. It's from spring of 1997 issue. The article on VIIs begins on page 121. And like I said, this is what I'm going to be reading from quite a bit. So let's begin. Inanimate and Transitive Verbs in Minnesota Ojibwe by Anton Troyer. The Ojibwe language is a verb language. Two-thirds of the words in Ojibwe are verbs. Understanding the language, therefore, requires understanding verbs and the patterns of their inflection. Ojibwe verbs are divided into four main categories depending on the animation and transitive properties of the word. These are verbs that are inanimate and intransitive, or VIIs, verbs that are animate and intransitive, or VAIs, verbs that are transitive and inanimate, or VTIs, verbs that are transitive and animate, or VTAs. If a verb is intransitive, either a VII or VAI, the action is contained and does not carry over from one object or person to another. For example, gisena, it is cold, or wisine, he is eating, are considered intransitive because they are conditions or actions that do not carry between two objects or people. Transitive verbs are required to express action that is done by one person to another person or thing. For example, Anishinaabe Motau, speak Indian to someone, or Bidun, bring it, are considered transitive because the actions in those verbs moves from one person to another person or thing. The Ojibwe language is further divided into realms called animate and inanimate, that which is spoken of as a living thing and that which is not. Animate verbs must be used to describe the actions and conditions of animate objects. Inanimate verbs must be used to describe the actions or conditions of inanimate objects, as well as general conditions and weather words. This article is designed to give students of Ojibwe a better understanding of one type of Ojibwe verbs, the VII, verb intransitive inanimate. These are the simplest verbs to conjugate in Ojibwe and a good place for students to try to grapple with the basic patterns in the language. Learning the patterns verb conjugations take is key to learning Ojibwe. Once a student has mastered the multiple changes a word can go through, each time he learns a new verb, he will actually be learning dozens of words, because the verb can be said and used that many different ways. Ojibwe may seem like a complex language, and in some ways it is. However, Ojibwe is an ancient language that has developed in very consistent ways. There are very few exceptions to the rules of Ojibwe grammar. Once a student masters the rules for VIIs, they can apply those rules to any VII they hear an elder say, or any VII they read in a dictionary. The basics. VIIs are often referred to as "it is" verbs because they describe weather conditions or the status of inanimate objects. Here are a few examples. Ate. It is in a certain place. Example. Disanagan ate adupuining. The plate is on the table. Nundagwad. It is heard. Example. Zibi nundagwa dima. The river is heard there. Gimewan. It is raining. Example. Gimewan agwajing. It is raining outside. All right, that's a good place to stop with Oshkabewis for this episode. I just wanted to go over the verbs and some of the examples again. We'll just focus on the VIIs. So we started with gisena, gisena. It is cold. Gisena. We're going to talk about it next time, but any VII that ends in a vowel or a double vowel will occasionally, it can also appear with a magud at the end of it, just to kind of adjust the flow of your speaking and make the word longer. So gisena, it is cold. It's also gisena magud. Gisena magud, it is cold. It means the same thing. Gisena, gisena magud, gisena, it is cold. Generally, that refers to kind of weather. So gisena magud, like it is cold. The next verb that we heard, ate. Say these with me, eh? That's why I'm repeating them so slowly. So say them after I say them. So ate, ate, it is in a certain place. Ate, ate. And again, because it has a vowel ending, it could also be ate magud, ate magud, ate, ate magud. It is in a certain place. And the example was desanagan ate adupuining, desanagan ate adupuining. The plate is on the table. Desanagan ate adupuining. The plate is on the table. The next verb we looked at was nundagwad. Nundagwad. It is heard. Nundagwad. nun dagwad, it is heard. Example, zibi nun dagwad de ma. Zibi nun dagwad de ma. The river is heard there. Zibi nun dagwad ima. And finally, gimme one. It is raining. And the example was gimme one agua jing. It is raining outside. That agua jing is a good one to have for all these weather words. You can, you don't have to put it after every weather word, but it's sort of, lots of folks do to kind of communicate that you're talking about the state of weather outside. So like that first word, gisena magad agua jing. What does that mean? Gisena magad agua jing. That means it's cold outside. Gimme one agua jing. Means it's raining outside. But yeah, so hold on to that agua jing. It's definitely going to show up a lot as we continue forward with verbs that are intransitive and inanimate. And next episode, we'll talk about that magad and have some examples of magad. These three examples, too, in this section is sort of how the conjugations will break down. I'll remind us of this again, but VIIs typically are conjugated based on their ending. So if it's a vowel ending, if it's a D ending, or if it's an N ending, the conjugations will be slightly different, but not so much as to be confusing. So don't be intimidated by it, but there will be some slight differences that are all just about how easy it is to say the word. All right, misa il. That'll be it for this episode. Be sure to check the show notes. I'll have links to where you can download a PDF copy of Oshka Bewis Native Journal, Volume 4, Number 1, that I've been reading from, as well as some of the VIIs and things that we've gone over in this episode. I'll also have links to the White Earth Tribal College language table, which meets on Zoom every Tuesday and Thursday, generally from about 7 until between 8 and 9 o'clock. Kind of try to not start anything new if it's 8:15, so that we generally round up around 8:30 or so. Anyway, so you can check that out in the show notes. Also, if you have any questions or want to get in touch with me, you can email me at ojibwemodapodcast@gmail.com. So that's ojibwemodapodcast@gmail.com. Again, I'll have all that in the show notes, so it's easy to copy into your internet browser and that sort of thing. Anyway, miigwetchigo, miisa'u, giga wa, ba min, ninim, mi, nawa.